today on Living on Every Word.
But he answered and he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." To live on God's word is paramount to a life well lived with godly love, lasting joy, and real peace.
What sustains you? What keeps you going in your day-to-day life? Just as God designed food to be essential in sustaining our bodies, He designed something else equally vital to keeping us alive and healthy spiritually, and that's His Word. Let's join Pastor Mike Fritcher as he tells us the kind of life we can live when we live on God's Word.
Living on every word.
Would you turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you would? Matthew chapter 4. I think who Christ is on the cross is the very essence of what He intended to be and how He intended to live His life. When you look at the cross, you know that as He has ministered for 3 years and He comes to the end of His ministry and the end of His life, it all culminates in this cross, in this passion, the passion of Christ. Now, when we come to these last words of Christ, what I want to suggest to you is that everything that Jesus said and everything He did, He didn't do on His own initiative. He did it with the Father speaking and living through Him. So that when He is on the cross, He is not there on His own initiative. He is not speaking these last words on His own initiative. God is speaking through Him. God is speaking through Him to you and to me 2,000 years later. Jesus' walk was such that He would live on every word that came out of the mouth of God. You see this in the temptations. When He comes to speak of how He will live His ministry, notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." See, again, initiative of the Father. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Led by God to be what? To be tempted by the enemy. Why is that? Why would He be tempted by the enemy? Because Scripture says in Hebrews that He's the great high priest who knows how to sympathize with our weaknesses because He has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, because He has been tempted as we are, yet without sin, He's able to come to your aid in temptation. He knows what you're going through. He knows and He understands intimately. He not only has sympathy for us, He has empathy for us. He has this knowledge of what it is like to go through this life being bombarded by the enemy. So He is being tempted by the devil. And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But He answered and He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now there's something very interesting about this whole scene. Is that when the enemy will come against Christ, Christ will speak the word. He will say, "It is written, therefore I cannot walk the way that you want me to walk. It is written, it is written, it is written. God says, the Bible says, the Scripture says, and therefore I will respond the way God would have me respond." And it is interesting when you look at this, that when He uses Scripture the first time, the enemy will come and He'll use Scripture the second and third time. He'll lift Scripture out of context to tempt you and me with the very word to do something that is not of God's purposes for our lives. It's amazing to me how we'll justify sin and claim that God is leading us into this sin or leading us into this action or leading us into this way. Jesus says, listen, it is written. And when the enemy comes back and says, "It is written," you better have another Scripture for it. You better have another word for Him. This is God's strategy for you and me to enter into warfare, to live a holy life, to live by the Word of God. It's interesting when you come to this passage of Scripture, Jesus is actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, when He is quoting this Scripture, He's quoting this word from Moses' final message to the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel, they had their own experience with 40, didn't they? 40 years in the wilderness, Because they disobeyed God and said no to the promised land. They said no to the abundant life. They got straight up to the Jordan and said, nope, this is as far as we're going. We're not going any farther than this. And God says, fine, you don't go any farther than this? You can walk it off until all of you are dead and your kids can go in and experience what I had for you to experience all these years. They've come to the 40 years of the wilderness, and Moses has given his last farewell, his final message. Now, after wandering for 40 years, Moses is reminding them of those years and saying, listen, God provided for you. God's provision was always seen. God never failed to provide for you. But the point to God's physical provision to his children was a reminder of how he provides spiritually. Notice the reminder in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. This is what Jesus was quoting. Moses was telling the children of Israel, look, God provided for you manna. Every morning you got up and it was there. You had just enough. Couldn't save it. If you saved it, it'd spoil. Always had enough. But what he's saying is, listen, it's a reminder that God provides for you. And the reminder is this, that as you walk through the wilderness, it wasn't the manna that was getting you through. It was my presence and my word that I gave to Moses on the mount 40 years before. That it was the presence and the word of God that would get you through and lead you to the place that you need to be. And if you would obey that word and if you would follow that word, you'd find yourself exactly where you need to be in this life. Did you hear that? If you will hear this word and do this word, you will wake up realizing that you are exactly where you need to be spiritually. You say, well, I think that's impossible. I mean, why would he command us to walk in love if it was impossible to walk in love? To walk in forgiveness, like we'll see next week. To walk in a witnessing spirit, like we'll see in 2 weeks from now. To order our life correctly. To thirst correctly. To reflect, to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken him? To reflect, he was forsaken because of me, that's why. To live the life out by the power of God. But we live it by every word, is what Jesus is saying. As he was essentially saying to the enemy that day, listen, I'm not going to walk by the desires of this physical body. Yeah, it's been 40 days and 40 nights. I've eaten nothing, and I am hungry, but I'm not going to walk in a ministry that's going to be according to the carton, according to the flesh, according to the body. Instead, I am going to walk according to the spiritual desires of God, as found in His Word and as found in the impression that He gives to me according to that Word. Jesus' life and ministry would originate from the throne of God. He'd do nothing on His own initiative. Now, he declared this in John 8, 28 when he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. Folks, Jesus lived on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of his Father. Everything he did and everything he spoke was not conjured up in his own mind. It was a result of his intimate relationship with the Father that allowed him to hear and see what the Father was doing and then to simply walk in obedience to that word. And that's why we must live. It's how you and I must live. Want to have a successful marriage? Want to have a successful finance? Want to have a successful spiritual life? Want to see a great ministry come forth from your life? Want to see intimacy with God? Live it on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Live it according to Scripture. Not according to your thoughts. Not according to your desires. Not according to what you think is right in this life. But lining up your life to the Word of God. This is how we must live. To see that everything that God says in His written Word is applicable to a life that wants to live like Christ. To live on God's Word is paramount to persevering life in Christ. And a life well lived with godly love, lasting joy, and real peace. Question is will you do that? Will you and I live our lives day to day on the Word of God? Listen, When you live according to the Word of God, wonderful things happen in your life. Wonderful promises are fulfilled. For instance, turn to John chapter 8, if you would. John chapter 8. Now, John speaks often of the Word of God and abiding in it and living in it and walking in it. In John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus, in verse 31, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, now watch, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In other words, he says, when you live by God's word, not only will it prove that you're my disciples, that you are believers in me, he says, listen, you're going to know the truth. You're going to find freedom in this life. You're going to find the freedom to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. Notice, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. You'll know the truth will make you free. And they answered him, well, we are Abraham's descendants, and we've never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Isn't that interesting? We've never been enslaved to anybody. Well, folks, you got Rome all over you right now. You've had Egypt all over you. You've never been enslaved to anyone. But Jesus doesn't even answer that question. Instead, he cuts straight to the chase. Because you know what? He's not talking about Rome rule or Egypt rule. He's talking about the kingdom of the enemy's rule. So notice what he says. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Now, the word commit is a continual thing. It's a thing that just encompasses our lives. So he's saying, everyone who is practicing sin, committing sin, walking in sin, defined by sin, is the slave of sin. And the slave doesn't remain in the house forever, but the son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you're going to be free indeed. What is he saying in the context there? The context is, listen, I'm talking about freedom from the power of sin in your life right now, right this moment, today. You abide in the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free. You walk in the Word of God, you will be free from the strongholds of the enemy that you walk in and that we walk in all of our lives. Next week, we're going to be talking about the sin of unforgiveness, bitterness, and how many people walk through this all their lives, enslaved to bitterness. And Jesus is saying, listen, if the Son will make you free, you'll be free indeed. Free from what? Free from the power of this sin, from the power of this junk in our lives. If you abide in this word, when you live on God's word, you will find His freedom in your life. You will find a freedom. Now, what comes with freedom? Peace, life, joy, anticipation, hope. There's an excitement in life. Come on, we keep going on and on and on about this abundant life. Where Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and might have it abundant. Do you think the abundant life is a choke chain called sin around your neck that every time the enemy says, come here, boy, you come? Do you think that's freedom? That's not freedom. Do you think it's some kind of thing that's over your life that just follows you all of your life, that you've got depression or you've got anger or you've got lust or you've got greed? Do you think that's the abundant life, living the abundant life? Absolutely not. Truth will set you free. Well, we hear it a lot, don't we? We hear it made fun of. Television. Truth will set you free. Well, listen, if they only knew. If they only knew that the truth of God's Word will absolutely, totally set you free when you live by it. When you live by God's Word, you'll find His freedom. A second thought is that when you live on God's word, you're going to bear His fruit. Go to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. You find His freedom, you bear His fruit. Notice, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. Watch this verse. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You're clean, you're pure, you're holy because of this word that I'm speaking into your life. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them in the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, there it is, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, here it is again, and so prove to be my disciples. When I abide in the Word of God, the Scripture says that I can't help but bear His fruit. Now go to Galatians chapter 5 for just a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse 1, and then we'll go to 16. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom from what? Freedom from these strongholds. Freedom from this sin. Freedom from these habits. It was for freedom that He set you free. It was for freedom that He came into your life. It was for freedom that He came to give you this abundant life. Therefore, watch what you have to do. You have to keep standing firm and not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now go to verse 16, and I know that we're skipping a lot here, but it says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will never, this is what it says literally, never, ever, ever carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those are sexual sins. Idolatry, that's loving something more than you love God. Sorcery, that's anything with witchcraft, anything with the horoscope, curses, or anything else that people walk in. Enmities, that's fightings, it's strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, when we look at finding freedom, this is what we're finding freedom from. These things. I got to ask you, as you look at them, did you struggle with any of these this week? We've all struggled with them. But let me tell you the difference between struggling and being free. See, I think you can struggle and be free. I can still struggle without having it around my neck, pulling me wherever it wants to pull me. It's like this claw that just kind of sticks right here in your forehead, and he loops his string in it, and he just pulls you wherever he wants. The claw, the stronghold. You've heard me speak of the claw or the stronghold of fear in my life. That from the time I was 10 years old till 27 years old, this claw was in me, and it yanked me wherever it wanted to take me. And one day, God removed the claw. What I believe, through living the Word of God out. And it's gone. Now, do I ever struggle with fear? Yeah, I do. I'm still, like my mama, unnerving sometimes, you know. But you know, I'm free. Because whoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And you can find this freedom by walking out the principles of God's Word. Because, you see, God sets us free so that when we're abiding in the Word, He takes these things off of our lives and then He begins to fill us with His Spirit. And then when we walk by the Spirit, in verse 22, we see that the fruit of the Spirit becomes love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, if you belong to Christ Jesus, He says, you have crucified, and that's in a perfect tense, you have, you are, and you'll continue to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And I tell you, the only way that you walk by the Spirit is through the lens of the Scripture. It's the only way. Because if you don't walk by the Scripture, then you have an opportunity to walk by another spirit. And it ain't the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit of the enemy. And I tell you, if you got to look at it through the lens of Scripture, that's why Jesus says, you live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When you live God's word, you'll find his freedom, you'll bear his fruit, and then you'll be equipped for service. Notice on the screen 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If you are living God's word, you're going to be set free, you're going to be bearing fruit, and then you're going to be set for good works. You're going to be adequate and equipped for every good work. It's this fruit of the Spirit by the word of God in your life that equips you for the service that God has for you and for me. 2 Timothy 3:16, it's all inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The word actually means God-breathed. The scripture is God-breathed. That's the nature of God's word. God's word, when it was written, he breathed it with great purpose for everyone who will believe it. By the agency of man, God breathed his word into existence. By the pen of man, he breathes his word into existence. And we happen to have it in our laps today. What a gift. When you do God's word, when you live God's word, God-breathed word, you will be instructed, reproved, corrected, and trained in righteousness. There's a fourth and final thing, though, that when you do God's word, and that's this. When you do God's word, you will pass through any storm, any trial, and you'll come out victorious when you do the Word of God. Victorious. Now, you may be a little battered. You may be a little torn. You may be a little hurt. But the Scripture says, when you do the Word of God, you'll come out of every storm victorious. Go to Matthew chapter 7. We'll close with this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, he's compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Now that rock's Jesus. You remember when Jesus said, listen, upon this rock, that's him, he's talking about himself, I will build my church. We build our house, the house of our life, the house of our marriage, the house of our family, the house of our church, by hearing and doing the word of God. He says, if you will hear the word and do it, you will be the wise man. And when this flood comes and this rain falls and these winds blow and slam against your house, slam against your life, against your marriage, against your family, against your church, it will not fall because it has been founded upon the rock. Victorious through the trial of life. But notice, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And that rain, when it fell and those floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, it fell, and great was its fall. Because it did not build our lives upon the Word of God by hearing and doing, hearing and obeying the Word of God. And folks, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you feel so racked. You feel so wiped. You feel so tired and fatigued. You feel so finished. I'm done. And yet God says, yes, you've got to follow me through. You've got to walk this walk one more time. You got to do this one more time. Sometimes God says, believe me, obey me, obey this word. Because I tell you this, if you stop obeying the word of God, you'll stop hearing the word of God. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen grown men come and literally hear a word from God and weep and weep and weep. They heard God and they walked out of these doors to continue in their lifestyle. A season where God spoke to them and they said no to God. 3-4 years later, and I've been here long enough to see that happen, they show back up. And they're hearing God again. For some reason, God's opened the word again. But it's the same problem, the same struggle, and God is saying to change. I've seen them weep again, but walk out, not to do the Word of God. And some I never see again. See them in the community, but never see again. Because they did not obey the Word of God. You may be here today, and you may be dry, and you may think, God is not speaking to me. And I will say what I've often said over these 20 years. What's the last thing that God told you to do that you did not do? Maybe that's why you're not hearing God. Maybe that's why it is so dry for you, because in some area of your life, you've chosen not to move on to the next glory. You've not chosen to be obedient to the next word that God has spoken into your life. Maybe that's the reason why. Listen, the question we ask is, how desperate are you for a word from God? Well, you're desperate enough to say, God, I'll do whatever, whenever, however, wherever. That's how desperate, if you'll speak to me. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never ever perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand, because my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God, by the initiative of the Word of God, by His Father, marched to the cross. And on that cross, He continued to speak. He spoke that last word. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Folks, that's a word to live by. It means that we're going to love well by forgiving. Today you shall be with me in paradise. It's a word to live by. It's a word that says that I want the people around me, the people that I don't even know, to be able to one day populate heaven. So God, use me to witness well. Jesus cried from that cross, I thirst. Folks, how thirsty are you for the Word? How thirsty are you for His work? Jesus ordered well on that cross when He said to His mother, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Placed His things in order. He had an ordered life, even to the end, even under great duress. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a word to live by. A word that says, God, I want to reflect well. I want to reflect on my life, on my days, and how I'm living. I want to consider strong. I want to consider hard and long of this work that you did at the cross 2,000 years ago when you said, why did you forsake me? We have a word to live by in these last words. When Jesus said, I commit my spirit to you. Folks, we need to submit well. Submit well to Him. Submit well to authority. Submit well to the people in our lives who want to teach us, who desire to teach us. Submitting to one another. Submitting to God. Jesus said, it is finished. And I tell you, you love well, you'll finish well. And Jesus finished well. Folks, that's where we're heading. Folks, but we can't go there unless we have this firm conviction that every word that comes out of the mouth of God we're to live on. That it is the strong Word of God. That it is God-breathed. That it is inspired by Him. That He's given this Word that we might find life. And to embrace that is to live it. And to live it, we'll live the last words of Jesus. And we will find life. You will find life.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org. Living on